Hi, good evening, church. Welcome to Life Church prayer meeting today. And let's commit this time to God in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, God, and we want to praise you, Father. We want to give you glory and honor to you, God, for bringing us together, Lord. Father, even as we are here, God, to listen to your word, O God, I pray, Father, that you will speak to each one of us, O God. You will talk to us, O God, and you will reveal your word to us, O God. I pray, Father, for every one of us who are here, God, we trust that you are working something in our hearts today, God. And I pray that you will speak and you will reveal your plans to us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, church. My sermon title today is In His Time. And the passage is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. So I'll read through the passage. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders in Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and asked and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and went in and where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to tell anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is an interesting passage, as there are two interwoven stories and miracle taking place in this short passage. Jairus, is a Pharisee, was a ruler in the synagogue of Capernaum. Pharisee, the name means the separate ones. They regarded themselves as morally and spiritually superior to many in the society. And Pharisees always think of themselves as pure and separate themselves from the Gentiles, the tax collectors, and sinners. We all know this. The Pharisees were very strict with the Jewish laws, and they were self-righteous. And back then, we know the relationship between Jesus and the Pharisees. So I put in a few Bible verses here. Mark chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, it says that Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. And even in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, it says, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" And in Matthew 22, verse 15, it says, Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. Jesus loves everyone, including the Pharisees. But Jesus often speaks against the self-righteous behavior of the Pharisees. Jesus voices and speaks against the Pharisees' traditions and the hypocrisy. You see, Jesus sees the bigger picture that all of us have sinned against God, and even the Pharisees need Jesus as much as the Gentiles, tax collectors. The Pharisees, realizing this, hated Jesus in return. As we can see in the above Bible verses, they accused Jesus, they put him to death, and they tried to trap him when he is with the crowd. And they laid out plans to trap Jesus at his word. And in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 4, it says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. So Jesus clearly mentioned, we are not to imitate the actions of the Pharisees. So this is just to give you an introduction before we move into the passage. So as we're going to reflect the passage right now, I will be highlighting a few key points so that we can meditate on them together. The first few verses that we read earlier, Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. When Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. So Jairus, a Pharisee, despite being the leader of the synagogue, was mindless about the crowd or the possible consequences. He fell at his feet before Jesus. It was very interesting for me as I was reading this passage on how Jairus approached and came before Jesus. See, Jairus is a Pharisee, and things were not really going well between Jesus and the Pharisee. And on top of that, we can read in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. So this is where two people go up to the temple to pray. And it says that two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector, on the other hand, stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So Jesus was speaking to the crowd, himself righteous, and looking down on the other's attitude when he spoke to them in this parable. The parable contrasts the self-righteous and boasting attitude of the Pharisees and of a tax collector confessing his sins and seeking God's mercy. The Pharisee stood by himself. He looked down on others and brags about his self-righteousness. And there's no sense of thanking God for what he has done for him. And there's no realization of sin in his own life and a need to seek mercy from God. And Jesus was very clear on which behavior and the condition of the heart that is acceptable before God. So now we see that, on the other hand, despite of this is the normal behavior of Pharisees and this is how they approach God, but Jairus, though being a Pharisee, realized who Jesus is and sees that everything depends on him trusting Jesus. He physically cast himself at the mercy of Jesus. He pleaded earnestly to Jesus to come and put his hands on her daughter so she will be healed. This is a total act of submission and humbling before Jesus. He was not coming to Jesus like how the other Pharisees would have come. He was not approaching Jesus with a mindset of self-righteous, but instead he came in with an act of humbleness. He completely submitted himself to Jesus. As a result, Jesus went with him. So So church, let's pause for a while and let's ask ourselves, today, are we being self-righteous and do we condemn people around us? In our day-to-day walk with God, how do we approach God? Do we humble ourselves? Do we thank God for everything He has done? And do we submit ourselves to Him? Or do we approach Him with a sense of arrogance within us? Do we approach God with a sense of entitlement based on what we have done? It's easy for us to be like the Pharisees nowadays, especially if you are leaders of a ministry or if you're doing something for God and you're working with a community. Do we look down on those who are less fortunate and underprivileged? Do we think that we are one level up and we know everything? So Jesus made it very clear that being self-righteous is completely unacceptable in the sight of God. And again, as we read through Mark 5, 25 to 36, I'll read quickly. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And the woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in the body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you?" His disciples answered, "And yet you can ask who touched me." But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." So as we reflect on this few verses, I'll be highlighting three main points. One of it is pushing through the crowd. As Jesus was heading to Jairus' house, there were large crowds followed him. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verses 42, the crowd almost crushed him. And with a large number of people pressing and pushing him, it would have considerably slowed down Jesus' progress. Jairus might have been very frustrated, and he so badly wanted to get Jesus to his house to touch his daughter. The slow movement would have enabled the woman who was subject to bleeding for 12 years to touch Jesus' clothes. The woman had spent all she had on her medication, but as we read, instead of getting better, she was getting worse. The woman must also have been an outcast due to her suffering. As it's written in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25 to 27, it says, "When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she'll be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. Any bed she lies on while her discharge continues to be unclean, as is the bed during her monthly period, and anything she sits on will be unclean, as during her period. Anyone who touches them will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean till evening." So imagine the woman's condition. She is having an ailment, having spent all she had on medication, but instead of getting better, her health kept worsening. And for a long 12 long years, there's no one by her side. She's considered defiled and she is treated as an outcast. There's no one by her side. And today, she needed to make a choice. She could either sit and complain and accept this as her fate and remain where she is, or realize that there is life and healing in Jesus, and the slightest touch on Jesus would bring her healing. So with faith, she pushed through the crowd, that crowd that almost crushed Jesus. She pushed through the crowd, touched Jesus' cloak, and she was healed at that instant. Church, today I'm sure that God has been speaking with many of us. I'm very sure that God is challenging us to move forward in many aspects and do something for Him. But are we pursuing those things that He has put in our hearts? Or are we allowing our past failures or worry or doubt or anything that challenges us to sit back where we are and get stuck there and do nothing about it? Yeah, in many cases, right, as we pursue forward, we get resistance. And so we become discouraged. And then we sit. And then we just wait for another good opportunity to come for us to move forward. And we just wait there. But the woman had to intentionally put her current situation behind her and push through the crowd before reaching out to Jesus. So this is risky for her. Because if they found out that she's unclean and she has touched the crowd, she has actually defiled other people. And she has even defiled Jesus. And this is risky for her. But regardless of her current situation, she pushed forward. So today, what are your crowds that stands between you and Jesus? What is our crowd? Who are our crowd that stands between us and Jesus? And we need to identify those crowds. We need to identify and we need to pursue forward. Another point that I want to highlight is faith matters. So the woman had intentionally pushed through the crowd and got her healing. But she thought she can just slip through the crowd. But Jesus, realizing the power had left him, start asking around and looking for her in the crowd. The woman then came and fell before Jesus, trembling in fear, thinking that she has defiled Jesus and anyone else in the crowd, and told him the whole truth. The woman had great faith, and she knew in her heart any slightest touch on Jesus would heal her, and she was willing to take risk. And so this is not magic or superstitious when she just touched Jesus's clothes. It's important to know that Jesus mentioned, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." And Jesus didn't say your touch had healed you. So her faith made her well. Many years ago, one of my friends once told me, used to have very bad headaches all the time. So back then, when there's no internet, emails, and WhatsApp, my friend used to write letter to one of a well-known evangelist in India to pray for him to be delivered from his headache. So there's one time the evangelist actually replied to his letter, and my friend claimed that the moment he received his letter and when he started reading the letter, he had so much peace already in his heart. And that night, what he did, he placed his letter underneath his pillow when sleeping, and his headache just left, and he was healed. So where is my friend's faith? Where did he put his faith? Was it in Jesus or on the letter that he received from a famous evangelist? So the object or the subject of our faith should only be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our faith should not be placed on anyone or anything else other than Jesus. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So church, it doesn't matter how many years we've been Christians or how many years we've been attending church services, but our faith in Jesus Christ must be nourished daily by reading, studying, and meditating on the scriptures. These scriptures that we read will point us to the person Jesus. There's no shortcut to this. We need to read, study, and meditate the scriptures. In Romans chapter 10 and 17, it says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." So we must know Jesus personally. We must have an encounter with Him through the scriptures. And only then our faith will be increased. And only then our faith will be on Jesus instead of any objects or anyone else or any worldly things. So this woman, it was not magic, it was not superstitious that she wanted to touch Jesus' clothes. It was pure faith that she had on Jesus. And the other part that I wanted to highlight to this passage is stretching of her faith. So Jesus' conversation with the sick woman meant that he was delayed in reaching Jairus' house. Imagine what could have been running through Jairus' mind. I mean, he is so desperate for Jesus to heal his daughter, the only daughter, and here Jesus is healing a sick woman and delays in getting to his house to heal his own daughter. While Jesus was still speaking to the woman, someone came from Jairus' house and said his daughter is dead. And he even asked, why bother the teacher anymore? So just sometimes we might need an answer to a certain prayer. We might be praying, or maybe for a healing, or for an opportunity, or for a door to open, or maybe even for something to happen in our workplace. But then there's no answer from God. And someone else who had been praying for similar prayer, they get an answer from God. Have we been in this situation before? Where we feel that the only answer we get from God is wait or no. But then when someone else goes to God and asks the same thing, he or she will get a yes for that particular prayer. And sometimes we might even say that God is being unfair to us and he's answering another person's prayer and not ours. So this is a period where Jairus either stopped bothering Jesus, like what the man said, or he shuts the noise around him and listens to Jesus who said, do not be afraid, but believe. I believe that Jesus was stretching Jairus' faith and was doing a deeper work within him. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13, we can read the story about the centurion who went before Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his servant. And in the last verse, verse 13, it says that Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believe it would. And his servant was healed at that very moment. At that very moment, Jesus said, go, his servant was healed. So Jesus has all power and authority. And he could just say a word and Jairus' daughter would have been healed at the moment that he knelt down before Jesus earlier. But Jesus does not need to go to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. But Jesus wanted to do more than just healing. Jesus wanted to stretch Jairus' faith and allow him to have a deeper walk with God. So God is surely in a mission to stretch each and every one of our faith. Sometimes delays in receiving answers to prayers, and when we go through a difficulty or testing moment, that actually stretches our faith. Because that time, we will actually go to him, look up to him, wait before him, and that causes our faith to stretch. But this stretch sometimes may cause us to become uncomfortable or may require us to take some risk, or it might ask us to increase our faith. But what we'll do sometimes, we give up halfway, right? But if we trust the process, our faith will surely increase. And because that's the whole idea that Jesus is actually stretching our faith. If we wait patiently, and if we follow through the process, and if we just allow God to do his work, our faith will be stretched and increased. So the stretching is not meant to break us, but actually to mold and prepare us for journey ahead. So today, church, whose voice are we hearing? There are many voices around us today that seeks to get our attention. It could be the voice of our bosses, friends, social media that kept coming to us and kept bothering us and telling us, stop bothering this Jesus. These voices kept coming back and saying that, why bother your God? Why bother Jesus? Stop. And these noises will ask us to stop following Jesus as there's no benefit in it. But when we decide if we are to follow these voices around us, we need to decide today whether we have to follow the voices around us or the voice that comes from God. Because it's really, really important whose voice we are hearing. And as we look at the verses ahead, he said, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to tell anyone about this and told them to give her something to eat. So Jesus continued his journey and they arrived at Jairus' house. Jairus could already believe the difficult all this while, but could he now believe the impossible? When Jesus said the child was asleep and not dead, the people around there laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus as they failed to see Jesus as the Son of God, who is sovereign and have all the power over nature, impure spirits, disease, and death. So what did Jesus do? Jesus put all of them out, took only the Jesus's, the child's parents and the three disciples who were with him. In another word, the people's unbelief has shut them out from witnessing the miracle. Jesus took the girl by hand and said to her, "Get up," and immediately she stood up and began to walk around. Jesus healed the girl in his time, not according to Jairus' time or expectation. So church, do we have unbelief in our hearts today? Do we walk with God and at the same time have unbelief in our heart? In Hebrews 3:16-19, it says, "Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed?" So we see they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So despite of them witnessing many miracles from God, the Israelites who came out of Egypt failed to put their faith in God. As such, they could not enter the promised land due to their unbelief. So today, unbelief in us will keep us away from the things that God has prepared for us, will keep us away from things that God has called us to do. So we see in Matthew 13:58, even Jesus could not perform miracles due to their unbelief. So God's timing, purpose, and plans are often different from ours, but his purpose is always for his glory. So in summary, church, we saw how Jairus fell at his feet before Jesus, and he pleaded earnestly for his daughter to be healed. His faith is expressed in humility here. There's no self-righteousness, pride, looking down on other attitude like the other Pharisees. And instead of just saying a word for healing, on the other hand, Jesus walked with Jairus, made him to witness the faith of a woman who was shunned by the community. Jairus learned to trust Jesus despite the noises around him. And finally, his daughter was healed by Jesus. His faith was stretched to prepare him for a greater purpose. The woman, on the other hand, who was shunned by the community, could have lived her life in that pitiable situation. She could just remain where she was. But she realized this is not what God had prepared for her. She knew God was actually calling her for something greater. She heard about Jesus, had faith in him. That little faith that she had made her to push through the crowds and reach out to Jesus. So church, how is our faith in Jesus today? And are we exercising our faith? As for me in this season, personally for me, God has been putting very specific things in my heart to do. Very specific things to do in the coming months. And I'm very sure God had been doing the same in your heart too. I'm very sure God has been speaking the same to many of you today. But are we believing what God has been laying in our hearts? I believe, church, that God is ushering the whole Life Church into a season where we need to believe that God is working something special with each one of us. And all that we need to do is believe in Him, step out in faith, and move forward without fear. So, church, in His time, God will send His divine intervention. In His time, God will heal you. In His time, God will provide. In His time, God will open doors and pour His blessings on us. In His time, His promise upon our lives will be fulfilled. But now, as we wait for Him to fulfill His purpose in our life, we need to exercise our faith. Be focused on our heavenly calling and continue to walk with Him. Amen? Let's pray, church. We'll go into a time of prayer now, church. And again, I just want to emphasize on this that I believe that God is calling and speaking to many of us. And church, we need to move forward. We need to trust God with this journey and move forward. And again, I want to encourage everyone to pray. It can just be a small, short, long prayer. Just feel free to pray for any points that I've listed here. Or you can even pray for any points beside the one that I've listed. Yes, church, let's commit this time to God. Yes. Father God in heaven, we want to come before You, Father. We want to thank You, Father, for the word that You've given us. And I want to thank You, Father, for the work that You have started in many, many of us here, God. I thank You so much for speaking today, Father. Father, I pray that we will continue to learn more about You, Father. As we meditate daily on Your Word, O God, as we wait before You, O God, and as we run through the Scriptures, O God, I pray that You will reveal Yourself to us, O God. I pray, O God, that You will give an encounter with every one of us here personally, O God. We want to have this encounter with You personally, O God. We want to know You personally, O God, even more, God. We want to have a personal revelation of You, O God. And as we go through the Scriptures, O God, as we read through the Scriptures, O God, I pray You will reveal Yourself to us, O God. Reveal Yourself to us, O God. And even, O God, as we realize there are crowds before us, O God, there are walls before us, O God. We are unable to move forward, O God. Oh, we see You, God. Oh, yes, we see You, O God. We know where You are, God. We know where You are calling, O Father. But there are just too many crowds, too many people, too many walls, too many noises, O God, in between, O God. Father, give us the strength today, Father. Give us the strength to move forward. And as we take the step forward, O God, as we push through the crowds, O God, I pray, O God, we will be able to reach out to You. And as we call upon Your name, God, we know You, God, listen to us, O God, and You will hear us out, O God. And Father, it's very important what we do while we wait for You to do something in our life, O God. It's important. What are we doing while we wait for You to do something, God? Are we just not moving forward? Are we just remaining where we are, not seeking You, O God? Father, I pray that You help us to move forward, O God, and trust You, O God. And I pray that You'll increase our faith, O God. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, God. Amen.
Father, we want to praise You and thank You. We thank You, Lord Father, for all the Christmas gatherings that we had. Thank You for all the things that you're doing, Lord, the ministries of the church, and we continue to look to you to open our eyes, to show us, Lord, how to go about this. Dear Lord, we continue to pray for everyone, even as we go into a new year. We pray that we all will trust you, Lord, to protect, provide, Lord, for us, to take care of our needs, Lord. We pray for the jobs, for the studies and everything, Lord, for those who are at home. We just pray, Lord, Father, that you would give shape, Lord, to how we should live our lives, the purposes that you have for us. And dear Lord, even those who are in challenging circumstances and even in the workplace, we pray, Lord, that we will know how to shine with your strength, with your goodness, dear Lord. We pray that for protection, Lord Father, against all forms of stress and work and the demands, Lord, that has been placed on people, that you will bring comfort and hope, Lord, and that you would make a way, Lord Father, for each person, Lord, who are facing any specific challenge, Lord Father. And God, we also look to you, Lord, to help us, Lord Father, to slow down each day, Lord, enough to focus on you, especially in a time like this, Lord, that we would look to you and that we would seek your word and meditate on your truth so that our faith may increase. Father, we look to you also, Lord Father, for our nation. We thank you for what is happening. We pray that you would stir the churches, Lord, to rise in a moment like this to be an example of love and justice and compassion, dear God. And as we listen to the politics, we know, Lord, racism is one of the key issues that the whole nation is struggling with, Lord. And we pray for healing. We pray for reconciliation. We pray even among your people, the Church of Malaysia, that you would open doors, Lord Father, for this reconciliation to take place so that people will come together before you respond. Father, also tonight we want to pray for Paul and Yiling as they celebrate the anniversary. We want to thank you for this family, for all of them, Lord. And we just pray that you be with them, with the children. Continue, Lord, to prosper them in your goodness. And we thank you for your calling upon their lives and for the many things they're doing in their home, Lord, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you continue to use them to be a blessing to many, dear Lord. We pray that you would protect them, that you would be their healer, that you would guide them, Lord, in this journey. I want to thank you for all of us who are here, God. We thank you that we are blessed by your word. We pray, Lord Father, that our joy will be complete because we know that you are just waiting for us to come and touch you, Lord. I look to you, Lord Father. And we pray that we will seize the moment to to be confident, Lord, that this door is always open before us because of your great love, because of what you have done. So, Lord, pray, Lord, that we will come, that we will touch you, that we will seek you, Lord, with all our hearts. Bless everyone throughout this week. Lead us, Lord, and guide us, Lord, in your goodness. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.